This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 10 minutes after 6 on this Wednesday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106, part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Pros Drainage, and by Farm Credit Illinois. Now with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures from Tuesday off the Board of Trade saw corn, beans, and wheat all higher after they traded lower on Monday. Even soybean meal and soybean oil were higher as well. First off, corn shot higher after the pause session and never looked back. Overnight futures into Tuesday morning were weaker following sharp losses Monday. However, continued concern over Brazil's supply and China being a noted buyer again for new crop corn helped to move prices in a positive direction, as did a weaker U.S. dollar and firmer bean and wheat markets on Tuesday. May futures in the old crop, which has its last trading day coming up on Friday, ended 11.25 cents higher on Tuesday to 7.59 and a half. July closed 10.5 cents higher to 7.22 and a quarter. New crop December was 2 cents higher to 6.11 and a quarter. Today at 11 this morning, the USDA will be releasing the monthly supply and demand report. Attention will be focused upon exports and production in Brazil. The pre-report projected carryout figure for the U.S. is 1.26 billion bushel. This is a decline from April's estimate of 1.35. Continued strong basis levels suggest tight inventory and strong demand. Planting at 67% complete across the country as of Sunday is well ahead of the five-year average, which is 52%. Poor pasture conditions, according to the most recent USDA progress report across the country, could imply more corn usage for feed. July corn futures in China is set at a 16-week high at $11.20 a bushel. Moving on to your soybean futures, July rallied into new contract highs and led Tuesday's charge, closing 27 and a quarter cents higher to 16.14 and three quarter. New crop November gained 17 and a quarter at 14.31 and a half, which is also a new contract high close. Strong gains in soybean meal of nearly $5 a ton and soybean oil gaining nearly a dollar on the futures all provide an underlying support. Today's USDA release of the monthly supply and demand report has projected carryout forecasted at 118 million bushel. Last month, it was 120 million bushel. There appears to be a growing belief that the USDA will be making little changes to carryout, but that the true figure is somewhere well beneath 100 million bushel. Projected world carryout is expected to remain unchanged at 86.9 million metric ton. The latest USDA crop report indicates that 42% of intended soybean acres are planted across the country versus the average over the last 5 years of only 22%. The market is at a critical crossroad. What will be interesting today is to see whether higher prices are curbing demand. The cash market could suggest not. For 4 months, the projected carryout did not change, yet both cash and futures prices continued to move higher. Potentially, the most interesting figure to be watched this afternoon will be the 21-22 projected carryout. The current preview report is estimated at 132 million. The bottom line is that there's no room for error producing the upcoming soybean crop. And finally, your wheat highlights from Tuesday had May Chicago 17 and a quarter cents higher to 7.59 and three quarter. July Chicago up 11 and a quarter at 7.41 and three quarter. May Kansas City wheat up 7 to 7.02 and a half, while July Kansas City also up 7 to 7.10 and a half. There was no real change in fundamentals on Tuesday, so wheat seemingly followed fellow grain on Tuesday. Expanding drying in the northern plains continues to be a driving force in wheat support. USDA crop progress shows that 70% of spring wheat has been planted. That's ahead of the five-year average by 19%. North Dakota's topsoil moisture shows that 80% is less than adequate as drought continues to expand. Winter wheat crops improved by 1% to 49% good excellent, but that's still slightly behind last year's 53% good excellent at this time. Kansas, however, dropped 2% from last week's rating to 53% good excellent. All eyes are on today's USDA wheat report. Its expectations are for new crop ending stocks to fall to 762 million bushel. That's the lowest seen in 7 years. However, if exports do not start to increase, that number just becomes less impactful. As of right now, the U.S. looks like there won't be meeting May's expectation without some major export business through the rest of the month. So recapping your higher grain futures from yesterday, Tuesday, off the Board of Trade, May corn and the old crop up 11.5 to 7.59.5. December new crop up 2 pennies, 6.11.25. May beans and the old crop gained 17.5 at 16.37.5. November new crop beans up 17.25, 14.31.5. May wheat in the old crop 17.25 cents higher to 7.59.75. July wheat up 11.25, 7.41.75. May oats down 2.75. July oats also down 2.75. May sitting at $4.25. July at 4.07.5. May soybean meal gained 5.10 to 4.49.50, and May soybean oil gained 96 cents to 67.06. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain report.
This is Tuesday's Board of Grain Prices trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are higher on Tuesday afternoon. Soybeans found strength on continuing strong basis levels and tight ending stocks. Tomorrow's World Supply and Demand Report is considered to support continued price rationing. In northern West Des Moines, cut grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly up 11 to 14 cents at 720 to 772. Soybean bids are 15 to 30 cents higher at 1588 to 1641. In central Illinois, cut grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 11 cents at 712 to 757. Soybean bids are up 26 to 27 cents at 1625 to 1659. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 8 to 11 cents at 737 to 787. Soybeans were 25 to 29 cents higher, 1629 to 1665. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids are up 27 cents at 1650 to 1685. Basis unchanged at 35 over to 70 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 6 to 11 cents higher, 732 to 767. But basis steady to down 5 at 10 over to 45 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids up 11 cents at 763 to 772, but basis steady at 41 under to 50 over the July. Soybeans ended 27 cents higher at 1644 to 1655, but basis steady to 29 over to 40 over the July. New crop wheat prices were 11 cents higher at 697 to 721. East St. Louis barge loading terminal placed their producer corn bids up 5 to 10 cents at 786 to 789. These elevators raised their soybean prices 24 to 27 cents. Quotations at 1678 to 1681. Soft wheat closed up 11 cents at 756 to 757. Milo ended the day 10 cents higher, 772 to 777. Contract bids producers for October, November delivery. Corn in the northern part of the state at 576 to 601. Soybeans at 1387 to 1416. In the central part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at 581 to 601. Soybeans at 1402 to 1423. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at 576 to 633. Soybeans at 1392 to 1456. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on now to your livestock numbers from yesterday, Tuesday. Cattle markets saw another day of good buying strength, and hog futures saw moderate selling pressure again Tuesday. First off, in your cattle futures that were led by live markets, additional short covering and technical buying supported the retail beef market and supported the live cattle futures on Tuesday. June cattle, still limited by cash trade, gained 40 cents to 118.62, but August cattle gained $1.70 to 122.05. The strength stayed throughout the market, with the December and later contracts pushing to new contract high closes on Tuesday's session. The wholesale beef market is the driving force under the cattle market's recovery from the recent sell-off. Choice carcasses gained 284 to 311.95, with select carcasses gaining 259 to 296.35. The choice to select spread has been starting to move wider as carcass weights have trended lower, possibly reflecting a more current feedlot situation and cattle being pulled forward in the face of higher grain price. A more current countryside may start shifting the leverage to the producer from the packer, but that will take time ultimately. Current packer margins are estimated at over $700 as slaughter cattle are very available and the packer is not pressured into a stronger cash market for those animals. Cash trade is still unestablished and that is weighing on the June futures. Expectations are for steady to slightly higher than last week numbers, but majority of business will hold off until today or later on this week. The strong close on the August and October contracts have those markets looking to retest the contract highs that December and later futures pushed through on Tuesday. The live cattle technical picture is vastly improved over the last couple of days. Feeder cattle managed to hold on to small gains with the exception of May. The May contract dropped 12 cents to 135.32, but August feeders gained 15 cents to 148.85. A return of strength in the grain market limited the gains of the feeder complex despite the strong live cattle moves. The price relationship between feeders and lives has needed adjusting, and that process might currently be at hand. Moving on, your hog futures saw moderate selling pressure again Tuesday as prices continued to consolidate off their most recent move higher. June hogs finished 92 cents lower on Tuesday to 111.17. July hogs down $1.27, 111.42. Technically, front-month charts failed to push over key price levels at the 10-day moving average, leaving the door open to further downside pressure. The price gap on the June chart is at 109.72, and the 20-day moving average is possibly near-term downside targets. A factor weighing on hog futures has been the weakness in Chinese hog value. Live hog futures on the Dalian Exchange in China have lost 7% over the last 2 days to the lowest level seen since the end of January. This may be due to the restriction of animal transport in China to help curb African swine fever, causing production buildup in regions and pressuring price. Secondly, since live cattle and hogs touched equal value, spreading between cattle and hog has become evident. Fundamentally, the market is still strong. Cash trade stays firm, and the lean hog index gained 88 cents to 110.10 Tuesday, running slightly at a discount to the May futures. Carcass values stayed firm overall and were firmer at midday. Pork carcasses traded 55 cents higher to 113.71 on a moderate movement of 199 loads traded. Recently, beef and chicken wholesale prices have accelerated higher, leaving pork behind. Could a share upside move the carcass value beyond the horizon? Demand is stronger, and export demand may be the driver behind a possible move higher in product. The current price action in the hog market is for more consolidative in nature, backing the support levels. The fundamentals are still strong, and hogs have the potential for another push higher, but at this point, the top does not look to be in at this point. So recapping, your mostly higher livestock futures, with the exception of hogs from yesterday, Tuesday. Your fat cattle for June gained 40 cents to 118.62. August fat cattle up $1.70 at 122.05. October fat cattle up $1.60 at 126.15. Feeder cattle for May lost 12 cents, 135.32. August feeders gained 15 cents at 148.85. September feeders up 40 cents at 150.47. Finally, your hogs, who had losses for the second consecutive day this week. May at 42 cents lower, 111.47. June down 92, 111.17. July hogs down $1.27, 111.42. And August down $1.35 at 106.75. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon livestock report. From the Illinois direct sale port, slaughter sale prices were steady with moderate to good demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 to 3 grade sales under 400 pounds traded $52 to $56, 4 to 5 weighted $54 to $58, 5 to 6 weighted $56 to $60, and over 600 pounds $58 to $62. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gut to country buying points were a dollar lower with good demand for heavy offerings ranging from $75 to $80. Pack of receipts for barrels and gilts this afternoon of a total of 31,413. In the direct cattle trade, National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Port, choice steers and live basis trade at 120. And on address basis at 190 to 192. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 119 to 122. And on address basis at 190 to 192. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was dashed with 311 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $113.20, which is 4 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice select beef carcass were trading higher. Choice carcass 312.37, which is $3.26 higher, while select carcass were 296.34, which is $2.58 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 118,000 compared to 121,000 last week and 94,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 485,000 compared to 487,000 last week and 371,000 one year ago. That includes the livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Farm Credit Illinois, and by Pros Drainage. 6:28 on this Wednesday morning, radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. We have partly cloudy skies at the Weather Center on this Wednesday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106, a temperature of 39 degrees. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust, helping to open doors since 1854, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now for Ag News here on your Wednesday. A top Senate Republican wants the details on President Biden's Build Back Better plans for trade. So far, a senior finance committee member, Chuck Grassley, says he hasn't seen them. Almost 4 months since President Biden took office and 2 months since the Senate confirmed Katherine Tai as his trade ambassador, Iowa Senator Grassley has seen no Build Back Better policy on pending trade talks.
There's been no update on these agreements in the Biden trade policy agenda. I have confidence in Ambassador Tai's ability to negotiate on behalf of Iowa farmers and manufacturers, and I hope she will be given enough power by the president to negotiate on their behalf.
A big concern as Tai comes before the Senate Finance Committee with commodity prices soaring and trade a key opportunity after years of low prices and a devastating pandemic. Grassley, who is a former finance chairman and senior panel member, wants answers on several trade priorities.
Number one would be to make sure that China's meeting its commitments on phase one. Number two would be the United Kingdom. Number three would be Kenya. Number four would be, are we going to be able to make progress with India?
Others wonder if the U.S. will try to re-enter the Trans-Pacific Partnership and how will it enforce USMCA, where Grassley says there are still problems to be ironed out.
On biotechnology and some other things with Mexico, we're having problems, and we're having problems with Canada on their milk or their dairy program not living up to their commitment.
At this point, President Biden has prioritized domestic issues, including COVID and the economy, over international trade, despite their connection and multilateral trade deals, which is a priority over bilateral ones. And ADM says it will be building the first ever dedicated soybean crushing plant and refinery in North Dakota. The goal of the new facility is to meet the fast-growing demand from food, feed, industrial, and biofuel customers, including renewable diesel producers. It will be in Spiritwood, North Dakota, with the approximate $350 million crush and refining complex to be featuring state-of-the-art automation technology and have the capacity to produce 150,000 bushels of soybeans per day. The company is putting the facility in the middle of the major soybean-producing area, which means ADM's logistics network will be enabling the facility to access both domestic and global markets for soybean oil. The new plant will be completed before the 2023 harvest season. Quote, this project allows us to partner with North Dakota farmers to further advance the role of ag in addressing climate change through the production of low-carbon feedstocks for products like renewable diesel, says Greg Morris, ADM's president of Ag Services and Oilseeds Business. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum says this plant is a game-changer for North Dakota farmers, adding value and expanding the market for this important crop closer to home, while also supporting the production of products like renewable green diesel right here in the state. In other national ag news, later on today, the World Ag Supply and Demand Report will be released for the month of May. And if you think you know everything about the WASD report, there's always room for a little bit more information. We join Mark Jenikowski, World Agricultural Outlook Board Chairman, for this look at the WASD.
The WASD is a very significant report because it helps to set prices. It helps with the price discovery process. And we believe, therefore, that it makes markets operate more efficiently.
Mark says to get a better understanding of the WASD, it's important to understand how it evolved.
The first WASD was released in 1973, but what that first WASD was actually the release of a report that USDA had been doing for many years previously.
He says the USDA used these reports to formulate farm programs.
And at that time, it wasn't even called the WASD. It was just the Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report.
The report became international in 1980.
When the reports first started being released, I mean, they were much more kind of a periodic reports. They weren't on a rigid schedule. Sometimes they would come out a couple times a month. Sometimes they were at the beginning of the month, other times at the end of the month. It wasn't really until around 1980 that, you know, there was a much more rigid structure placed around these reports in terms of the timing and the release.
He adds that the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture began to sign the reports back in the late 80s. But in the meantime, where do all these numbers come from?
For all of the supply components, acreage and yield and ultimately production, those estimates come primarily from NAS, the National Ag Statistics Service, who are tasked with putting out extensive farmer surveys to find out what farmers have planted and what kind of yields they're getting on their crops. And the information we get from NAS, we consider to be the best out there, the best available. So we use that directly in our estimates of supply.
Information for the demand side of the sheet come from many different sources.
We use information from the census when it comes to exports and imports of the different commodities, and information from the Foreign Agricultural Service for overseas production, and Energy Information Administration data for things like renewable fuel production and ethanol production.
And since the WASD report numbers are in public record, they're very carefully reviewed before published.
We go to great lengths to try to avoid any kind of errors in our numbers. And that's why I'm putting these numbers together as a committee process, and we get lots of eyes on the balance sheet and try our absolute best to avoid errors and to make sure that the numbers, when they go out, are 100% accurate.
And since the report is market sensitive, it will be reissued if any numbers need to be changed after the initial report was released.
We put it out with kind of a notation on the file itself, noting that it's a different version, and we place text on our website specifying exactly what was changed, what the error was, and what the corrected data is.
At the same time, Mark says the entire WASD every month can be a lot to digest.
People scrutinize them, and folks in industry, they're also doing their own balance sheets. So they're comparing their own analyses against ours. I mean, there's always differences of opinion, and we get a lot of questions about that. We get sometimes criticism. We get public criticism about it at times if specific analysts or journalists might disagree with the numbers, but that's not an error.
Jenikowski also adds that anyone putting the report together is not allowed to have any financial interest in the commodity markets.
We work for USDA, and we don't have any vested interest in what the outcome is of the markets or the WASD itself. It's completely unbiased. It's completely objective. And it's also completely non-political. The secretary signs the reports, but signs them before seeing them. So there's no political influence either.
And again, that was Mark Jenikowski, World Agricultural Outlook Board Chairman. Moving on now into State of Illinois Ag News, let's go back over the latest crop progress and condition report released on Sunday. There were 3.5 days suitable for field work during the week ending Sunday, May 9th. Statewide, the average temperature last week was 55.4 degrees, 3.75 degrees below normal. Precipitation averaged 1.59 inches, 58 hundredths of an inch above normal. Topsoil moisture supply on Sunday was rated at 1% very short, 10% short, 63% adequate, and 26% surplus. The subsoil moisture supply was rated at 15% very short to short, 68% adequate, and 17% surplus. Corn planting as of Sunday reached 74% compared to the 5-year average of only 61. Corn emerged reached 35% compared to the 5-year average of 28. Soybeans planted as of Sunday reached 57% compared to the 5-year average of 25. Soybeans emerged reached 23%, well ahead of the 5-year average of only 5%. And winter wheat headed as of Sunday is at 58%, ahead of the 5-year average of 48%. And the condition of the winter wheat was rated at 13% very poor to poor, 17% fair, 52% good, and 18% in excellent condition. Also, the pasture conditions across Illinois as of Sunday were reported at 10% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 70% good to excellent. In other state ag news, the weather has been fairly mild over the last month or so, but one gardening expert says cool season vegetables have been doing excellent in her garden. Things like lettuce, spinach, and radishes are thriving in this cooler weather, but many around the state are hoping to plant their tomato plants and other warm season vegetables. Master gardener Nancy Oral says she recently learned of a trick to warm the soil where you plan to plant those warm season vegetables.
Now, you don't do this in the oven or in the microwave or anything like that, but here's how you do it. You cover your planting area with black or red plastic a couple weeks before you plant your tomato plants. The extra degrees that translates into easier, earlier tomatoes. The soil is a lot warmer when you cover it with the heavy plastic, and that will help the seed, your tomato plant, be healthier and grow stronger.
And she says the traditional advice of planting your tomato and other warm season plants on Mother's Day weekend might need to be altered, as Mother's Day came a little bit earlier than mid-month dates in the past. And hopefully you haven't put out any of your warm season vegetables into that outdoor garden, because we yet again had another frost advisory overnight, still in effect until 7 o'clock this morning. But how rare is it to see a late season frost on the 12th of May?
It's somewhat unusual. It's certainly not unprecedented to see some low 30s this time of year. It's certainly later than the normal time. I think that that area in the far northern part of Illinois probably typically sees their last 32-degree temperature right around the 1st of May. So it's coming a bit late, certainly not the latest of those occurrences we've ever seen before. But, you know, with this cool air mass, we've seen quite a few mornings with freezing temperatures in the northern Midwest, the northern plains, and the Great Lakes. So it's kind of occurring with this cool Canadian air that came in behind the weekend system. So, again, coming later than normal, but not the latest ever, and certainly not highly unusual, but certainly a little later than we'd like to see readings in the low 30s.
That's Freeze Notice meteorologist Dan Hicks. He also tells us when we'll finally break out of this cold spell.
It looks like that we probably won't see that until next week. Indications are right now that this cool air will retreat farther north during that period of time, and the 6 to 10-day temperature pattern looks normal to a little bit above normal across a lot of the central and eastern U.S. So we'll have to endure some cool days here in the short term, but it does look a little bit warmer next week.
Again, that was Freeze Notice meteorologist Dan Hicks. And moving on now into local ag news. Coming up tonight, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders Committee will be holding their May meeting. It'll be held at the Farm Bureau office on the courthouse square in Hillsboro again this evening, starting at 7. And tomorrow, Thursday, the Macoupin County Farm Bureau Young Leaders and Young Farmers Committee will be holding their May meeting. It'll be held at the Farm Bureau office in Carlinville Thursday night, starting at 7. And if you've been waiting to go to a tractor show, I have good news for you. The Hillsboro Old Time Tractor Show will be held this year, but in conjunction with the Montgomery County Bicentennial Celebration. That means it'll be about 6 weeks earlier and will be held on Saturday, June 5th and Sunday, June 6th at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler. And as we get more information about the upcoming tractor show, we'll share that with you right here on WSMI. And one last final note here today. We've announced that May is Beef Month across the nation, and here at WSMI, we'll also be celebrating May Beef Month by giving away beef certificates to Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. They've been kindly donated to us from the Central Illinois Livestock Association. All you have to do is email us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com to enter to win. Put beef in the subject line of your email along with your name and phone number so we can contact you. This coming Friday, I'll pick two winners. Next Friday, the 21st, I'll pick one. And the following Friday, the 28th, I'll pick another winner. Perfect, just in time for Memorial Day weekend. Again, all you have to do to enter to win is email us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. Put beef in the subject line of your email, along with your name and phone number, so we know how to get in touch with you if you are picked as a winner. And that'll conclude your Ag News here on this Wednesday morning. But remember to send us Ag News, email us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Wednesday morning, May 12th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting, WSMI Ag News.